kids, college ladies, same thing. A lot of discipline, a lot of work, a lot of effort. And then these little fellas up here, they got a whole lot to look forward to. And so we praise God for the parents that stood by them, the grandparents that stood by them. When you see a young person reach these milestones in their life, there's a whole lot behind it. There's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of love. I think about these little children, the ones that went to public school, Christian school, home school. You think of all the meals that's been prepared, all the mornings, the afternoons, picking these children up. A lot of love, a lot of effort went into all that. And we praise God for it. And these loving parents, they would do it all over again. If God would give them strength again to go through it all. So we thank God for them, and we are so pleased tonight for those of you who got to be here. And we thank God for each one of these. These young folks up here tonight, they're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. So we thank God. Now, some of these are going to be furthering their education in college. And so we need to pray for them that God would bless them and His will would be done. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless this little service. And then I want to have Chancellor's graduation service first. Or I'll give out these Bibles of these little kindergarten kids so they can go back to their seat. And then we'll honor these other ones and we'll give them Bibles also. Greatest gift you could ever give anybody is the roadmap to heaven. The instruction book on how to live in this world. Now, most men, when you buy your children something for Christmas, you know how we are. You just open up the box and you're going to put it together because you know how to do everything. And then you get about halfway through and you got 10 parts left over, don't know where this and that goes. And what does your wife always tell you? Yeah, some of you's already gone through this. Read the instructions. This is the instructions to have a beneficial life. Your life turn out right. And you can avoid a lot of pitfalls in life by studying this right here. And so we praise God for His Word. And we're going to give these kids and these young people and these older adults a copy of the King James Bible, which is God's Word. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate Him, the Lord, so much, giving us opportunity to know that all these lives are so precious, are so valuable. So valuable. I remember when they were little tykes, most of them. And I remember Chancellor, I remember when you was a little thing. And there's Blair and Lucas and Megan and Danielle. And praise God. And these are still little tykes. And I remember them. They've grew up under me here. So they're like my children, too. I mean, they mean something to me. And I want God to do the best for them. He will if they'll listen to Him. He's got a great life plan for them. I have no confidence in this world, nor in the governments of this world, but I've got absolute confidence in God. You parents tonight, you're about as nervous as they are. You know how nervous you were when you were where they're at. You're looking at a world falling apart. You're looking at a nation that's not nothing like it used to be. So what do? You're going to trust God. That's what you do. That's what we all do. Because that's what works. That's what keeps you sanity, is being able to trust God with them. So we thank God for it. Let's go to the Lord and prayer. Holy Father, in that name that's above every name, the strong name of the Lord Jesus, we come here tonight. This is an important night for each and every one of these, and it brings back to our mind and our memory days gone by. Oh, Lord, Your mercy endureth forever. And, Lord, these dear precious lives that have been molded to a certain degree, and, Lord, really the molding begins now, the development of many of their attributes and their character, Lord, the days to come. Lord, it'll be lived out what's been put in them. And I pray, God, You'll bless them. Lord, we hold them up to You. Lord, they don't know what life holds, and we don't either. But we know God, even though we don't know what tomorrow will bring, we know who holds tomorrow, and it's you. And Lord, we're so honored tonight just to be a part of this service. I pray for Chancellor. She sings in a moment. And Lord, gives her a little speech. You'd bless her. Any of these other ones that want to say something, bless them. God, we didn't come tonight to be stiff and starched. We come to have a worship service, God, for these young people. And we pray, God, that we will. And dear God, thinking about all the years of mercy, pitfalls and traps these young people have missed. Satan out for their total destruction, and you've been with them. Thank you, Lord, for it. Now, Lord, I pray the blessings of heaven will be upon them, countenance of God will shine upon them. And Lord, your anointing oil will be on their countenance. And Lord, the water of life would run through them, the Spirit of God. And Lord, you'd bless others. Lord, may every one of these lives count for God. Because, Lord, if they don't count for you, they won't count for anything. And, Lord, when they live and they die, their life will be total insignificance if they haven't lived it for you. And, God, we know, Lord, a time like this, only this life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. May they, Lord, realize that. So, Lord, these tools, and that's what education is, it's a tool to glorify you with. As they develop these tools and learn how to use them, may maximum glory be your portion on their behalf. Lord, for these that aren't married, we pray for their spouse in life. We pray, God, you'll lead them to the right one. And dear God, they'll live where they ought to live. They'll go to church where they ought to go. They'll, Lord, always fulfill their responsibility. There's a lot invested in every one of these lives. So, Lord, may they give back because they've been given so much. God bless them. God, may your hand be with them. And Lord, when children are born to them, give them wisdom, God, to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Clothe them, Lord, bless them financially. I pray the prayer of Jabez for them. Jabez cried to you, Lord. He said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Thine hand might be with me. Thou wouldest keep me from the evil that it may not grieve me. And God, you said you granted that which he requested. Lord, may they, Lord, not know the tragedies so many have in life. May they not know the heartache of divorce. God, may not they not know the heartache of a child, God, that gets mixed up, messed up on drugs in the sin of this world. God, may they not know what it is to have their heart broken by a spouse that's been unfaithful. Lord, may you lead, guide, and direct them, Lord, and bless them. Lord, may these mothers one day raise up children on their knee, God, that'll hear the old-time hymns of God. And they'll know you're real. Lord, God, tonight, let them leave here the purpose to serve you with everything in them. And all you do, we'll praise you and give you glory. In Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen and amen. I believe before I get a chance to come, I want to give these Bibles to these kindergarten kids. Now, children, you're not old enough to understand what I'm about to tell you. Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. If you ever get to the point you think you know more than this Bible, you need to get back on your knees. You'll never get too smart for this book to correct you. And Riley Dula, this is yours, and it's a little Bible for children, and it is beautiful. See, it's got all, there's Noah's Ark and all those little animals. And you know what? That story happened just like that Bible says it did. Universal flood. And Noah built an ark. Took him 120 years to preach and get it all built. And God brought the animals to him. Male and female, brought them to him. Isn't that something? Ain't no way he'd ever found all those animals. Brought those animals to him at the right time. He had enough supplies on that ark, and he put them on, they got on that ark. And Donnie mentioned this one time. All God had to do is put that whole crowd of animals in hibernation. That's all he had to do. But you can mark one thing down for sure. It happened just like God said. And out of that ark emerged Noah and his wife, Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their wives. And God started a new world. A new world after judgment. One of these days, this book will tell you about a new world coming. Phyllis, there's going to be no more hospitals. No more hospitals. And for those of you that's been experiencing death. No more funeral homes. No more sin. No more little hurt and abuse children. There's a new world coming. And the Lord's going to rule and reign 1,000 years in Jerusalem. That's what this says. And He's going to. And then He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And Mr. Charlie Green, this book will tell you all about that. Amen. You're about too cute to be a boy. Amen. No, you're a fine-looking young man. Aren't these beautiful children? Amen. Callie Hooks, you know who you're named after? Named after your mother, isn't she, Cindy? Amen. Gentle soul, wasn't she? Why was Keith her pick above you and Kathy? Yeah, you got petted enough by your daddy, though, didn't you? And Callie, you've got, there's a grandmother that loves you and knows God. She prays for you every day. See this book right here? She believes everything in it from Genesis to Revelation. She knows it's right. And may you come to know the God of your grandmother. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Catherine Elizabeth Shook. How you doing? Amen. Your mama's already praying. God puts all this in your heart. She believes, your mama believes you're a special girl. Because you are. All of you are special to the Lord. Special to me, and I love you. Amen. Let's give all these a hand. Y'all can go to your seat. Amen. Isn't that precious? Now, some of y'all's old as I am, we didn't have kindergarten graduation. Matter of fact, we didn't even go to kindergarten. If you got picked, you got to go to Head Start. I didn't get picked. So first grade was my first experience in the educational world. But I appreciate these children and all the hopes and dreams they represent. Well, this is Chancellor's graduation tonight. This young girl right here is real special to this church. She's special to the Lord, and she's special to her parents. Her grandparents, great-grandparents, and everybody knows her. And Tracy is her mother, but she's got a bunch of mothers in here. She got a bunch of them. She's got a whole lot of men in here give anything in the world to claim her as their daughter. That's right. She's precious. So are all of these. But we got precious kids here. You say, well, you're biased. I plead guilty. I'm biased towards them. And I know the love these children's parents have for them. And so Chancellor's going to come and she's going to sing. And she is valedictorian, summa cum laude, magna cum laude. She's everything tonight. 4.0, everything. Honor graduate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Chancellor, you come. You want to sing first or do you want to give your speech first? Whatever you want to do. Amen. God bless her.
Well, I just want to thank God for saving me and all He's done for me. And I just thank Him for, first of all, for, you know, saving me. He saved me when I was 7 years old, a little girl. I had no clue of that man. And God come by. He said, Chancellor, you're lost. I had no clue. I was just coloring a picture for my mom. That He would care for me like that, I just can't thank Him enough. And that He's even brought me this far, I just love Him tonight. And I just pray that He'll just draw me closer to Him. If I have one goal in my life, it's just that I want to honor and glorify Him. Everything within me would just reflect and show Him, because I love Him and I just want to do everything He wants me to do and be everything He wants me to be. You know, a lot of people in life, they'll say, you know, what do you want to do or what do you want to be? That I just want to be what God wants me to. And I thank God for my parents tonight, and I thank them. They had enough sense to bring me to church. And I thank God for saving them, and I thank them for loving me and even bringing me here. And God put the burden on my mom to homeschool us. And I thank Him that she obeyed Him and she did what she was supposed to, because I wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for my mom and my dad praying for me, and I know that. I just thank Him. He's been so good to me. The song that I will sing, God gave it to me a couple years ago, so y'all pray for me. Well, God looked down upon my life. He saw the misery. He seen the mess that I was in, and His heart was broken for me. He seen how far I had gone and how I was deceived. Oh, but yet He still seen what I could be. So He began to work on my heart and soften up this clay. But when others couldn't see it, He would always say, I have a plan for her. Just wait and you will see. Right now she looks broken, but I'm working on a masterpiece. And I know it's taking some time to mold her perfectly. You may not understand or be able to see, but in my eyes, I'm working on a masterpiece. The day He started molding me, I haven't been the same. He took all my fears away. My desires have been changed. But He's not finished with me yet. There's more to be done. So He continues to fashion me in His love. And though sometimes I can't see what He's making out of me, He says, child, there's no need to doubt. Just put your trust in me, 'cause I have a plan for you. Just wait and you will see. Right now it seems hopeless, but you're turning into that masterpiece. And I know it's taking some time to mold you perfectly. You may not understand or be able to see, but in my eyes, you're turning into that masterpiece.
Amen. Amen. That's good, sister. Real good.
Glory to God. Amen. Chance, have you ever sung that song here? I don't believe I've ever heard that. That is awesome, isn't it? Oh, my. That makes all the praying worth it, don't it? I want to present Chancellor with this diploma. Faith Christian Academy. This certifies that Chancellor Brooke Craig has successfully completed the required course of study approved by the Board of Education for the state of North Carolina. Therefore, is awarded this diploma given this 27th day of May 2012. Bless you. You know how much we love you. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Lord, you're good. I tell you what I want to do. This is sort of off the program. All y'all that sing, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Why don't you come up here? Because this is dedicated to these graduates. And it is so true. Amen. So all y'all help sing this. Come on up here. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord Jesus. Praise His holy name. Amen. I think this will be real appropriate.
Because can walk without you holding my hand.
Praise you,
Lord. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Oh, thank
the
you.
Mountain
Glory.
Is too high, and the valley is too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Got the juice on it, ain't
it? Amen. Okay, any of you other graduates want to come and say something tonight? Word testimony, something, I'll give you a chance to. You want to, Daniel? Come on up here. Yeah, come up here. Isn't this strange? Her and her mama's graduates. Hey, man.
He didn't have to save me or any of us. I just think about Charlie Woodard, and I came by to see my dad, and you can, I guess, look back and just see. I mean, my family's sitting here. Many of them are saved. And I just want to just thank him. And I guess I sound chumpy, but just thinking back to when I graduated from high school, I guess I was so afraid. I wanted to be a teacher and go on. And as long as you keep him centered in your life, he'll guide you. I was so afraid about what state I'm going to make, going to maybe a secular college. But every morning, if you go, you just pray for discernment, and he'll bring back what you've been taught, what you've heard. Because there's a bunch of times, I've had, I guess, different types of people as teachers that the Bible doesn't approve of, but he gives discernment and send up a red flag. They'd say something, of course they teach evolution, everything else, but I just want to thank him. I just look back and how he made a path and paid for things when, we didn't have money to pay for them, or even just blessed me with a scholarship and give me a place to live while I was there. And I just thank you for all your prayers and your support, and mainly just any path you take in life, whether you want to be a mom or a teacher or whatever, it's all about him and how, I feel like this is just a path for me to tell people about Christ. And I was thinking this morning, I've been able to, it's several children, just the past 4 years, all the glory to him. I've been able to teach about 250 kids. I mean, who would have thought that been exposed to that many children? But I just want them to see Christ in me, and just not even just working or be like, I have my master's degree or bachelor's degree. It's all about him. That's nothing to him. That he just makes a path that we can witness to others. But I just want to thank him. I thank you for all your prayers, and thank you for my parents and everyone.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, next, this is almost June, and Danielle, what's happening June what? June the 16th. We've heard all these years about May the 16th. Now it's June the 16th. She's getting married. And all these little boys had a crush on her. She's going to change her name. They're going to be heartbroken. And she's going to be Miss Curly, right? At least you've got a brand new school year for them to get used to it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any rest of y'all want to say something? Go ahead, Megan.
Made it. As most of y'all may or may not know, I didn't really go to a traditional high school. I went to the early college, and going into it, you're thinking, 5 years, that's not that much longer. Then let me tell you, by junior year, you're like, oh, Lord, give me mercy. Get me out of here. But I just, I never knew what a blessing in disguise it was, and I can't thank God enough for giving me that whole extra year to stay here and really get closer to Him and let Him show me just a few things that I've kept to myself in my life that I don't think I ever would have learned being away from home and being away from this church and being away from all of y'all and such a loving church family. I could never imagine anyone having such a loving church family, and it's such a blessing that God's given me my mama and papa Hewitt here and my mama Shue, and it's just thank y'all for raising the best man and woman anybody could have ever raised. And Mom and Daddy, thank you for, I know I haven't been as good as I should to y'all, but I just thank you so much for bringing me to church and not just sending me to church, but really bringing me to church. And I remember the day my daddy broke and came down to that altar, apart from me getting saved, that was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. And Daniel, I've heard you say, apart from being saved, being married is one of the greatest things, and I'll always follow you. And but you haven't been in my shoes and seen my daddy break and walk down that altar. No, that's probably one of the best things I could have ever asked for. And I just thank all of y'all and thank God so much for giving me that extra year and putting me where He wanted me to be.
That's good. Ain't that a blessing? Megan, are you 18? 19. I mean, 19 years old and you bragging publicly on your mom and daddy. Now that is something. That is something. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that Sunday morning, God broke her daddy. Saved him. Curse of a divided house. Never forget it, Brian. Great day. Amen. Anybody else want to say anything before I read some scripture here and say a few things to these graduates? Okay, I want to look at Matthew chapter 6 right quick. And I want to give these young people something that they can remember this service by besides, well, we've already had a lot to remember it by. And since this is all being videoed, they can get a copy of it and relive it time and time again. And thank God for that. And then after the service here, we're going to have refreshments over here. And then you can spend time talking to them, encouraging them, and edifying them to serve the Lord and glorify God. Matthew 6. There are some things that never really strike fear in your heart till the time that they happen. And you don't know how to expect a graduation, not from high school. And it struck me, and what struck my heart with fear was I knew that it would never be the same. About a day before I graduated from high school, I mean fear hit my heart. I never even gave it a word of thought really before. And I got to thinking, now the responsibility that I've got to take upon myself, not a kid anymore, and the thing that broke my heart I believe about the most is all these kids that I grew up with, I'll never see them again. Never see them again. And you know what? Most of them, I have never seen them since. See, where I went to school back then, well, you had 8 years elementary school, where you had primary school, elementary school, high school. So I was the last graduating class of 8 years at Rufford College, a little school outside Valley General Hospital. And if you don't know it, their mascots are Roadrunners. Isn't that something? Rufford College Roadrunners. And I'll never forget that 8th grade graduation. It's all different. And the reason being, because we were a little family. See, we had about probably 35, maybe in each class, had two classes. Each grade had two classes. So all these kids I went to school with, I mean, you talk about friends. I mean friends. And a small school like that, it's like a small church. You really get interactive with one another. And I'll never forget, right before an 8th grade graduation, if you walk through the breezeway over to this part of the schoolhouse, if you walked up the steps and down is where the lunchroom is, and of course you know I know, remember where that was. But they had the steps going up, and of course you little walls beside of them, and I was sitting there by myself. Nobody was out there but me. And I don't even know what I was doing out there. And it hit me. I mean, that emptiness that can hit you with fear about life. What am I going to do? How am I going to make it? You start thinking about, where am I going to find a job? What am I, you know, am I going to have anything in life? Who in the world will I ever marry? I mean, you think about these things. And all that overwhelms you. Now, what would I have done if I didn't have at least a grasp of the knowledge of God and God directing my life? You think these young people here tonight, they're so honored and privileged. They don't have to have that empty pit in their stomach, even though probably all of them have. But what about all these out here that have no direction? They don't have parents to look up to. They don't have parents to be role models. They don't have any direction in life. And these that are here before us have had all of that. And they're so honored and privileged to have had that. But I'll tell you right now, I stand here tonight graduating high school in 1978. All these years since that day, I'll tell you, it's been a good ride, buddy. God's been with me. And God's had mercy on my foolishness and a lot of my stupidity. And I thank God for it. And all of that fear that I had in my heart, all the answer to that's in this book. I want to read you this, so I want you young folks to always remember these verses. In the book of Matthew 6, I want to read verse 21, and then maybe a few more verses. In Matthew 6, 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now verse number 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil and neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like as one of these. Wherefore God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." I'm not going to really preach. I just want to talk to these young people from my heart. That doesn't mean you don't prepare for life. That doesn't mean you don't go get a job and sit on the couch and say, well, God will provide. That's not what that means. That means you don't get into anxiety over it. How about the same God, if He can feed the birds, if He can take care of the grass of the field and the lilies of the field, how much more can He take care of those that He loves like He loves mankind? And it's a glorious thing. There's four little things I want to leave with you tonight. Number one, if you're going to be successful in life, you need to realize your value to God. And a sub-point under that is learn to value yourself. And I know there's a danger in being full of pride and thinking you're something when you're nothing as far as a person's ego and their pride. But I'm talking about your value to God. What makes a person valuable is the potential glory that God can get out of that life. The potential good that can be lived out through that life is what makes you valuable. I'll tell you how valuable you are. Verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" How this question is asked by Christ, expecting a positive answer. Why is that? Because we're creatures of negativism. I mean, we live a life a lot of times, and our questions are like these. I mentioned some of mine. Here's questions we have at a time like this. I think we ask the question, will I succeed in life? I think everybody ought to want to be successful. I believe everybody has that desire, that their life have importance. You know, a lot of people do a lot of things today. They disfigure their body. They do all kind of things. You know why? to get somebody to notice that, to get attention, when what they need is a daddy that loves them and gives them confidence, or a mother that loves them and gives them confidence, or a relationship with God where they know how much they're loved and how valuable that they are. I'm sure of that. The question tonight, to many of these, will I have a good job? Will I ever own a house? Will I ever have the car of my dreams? Will I have a husband or a wife that will love me? What kind of children will I have? Will I die of cancer? I mean, all these questions come up in these milestones of life because they demand that we think about the future. How that's not a bad thing. How that's a good thing. I think about my own life and the fears. And these disciples were that way. Christ knew when He went away from them, all these fears are going to come in their life. And you young people, mom and dad will not always be there. They're there now. But there's coming a day you got to make it on your own. There's coming a day you've got to make decisions that you've got to live with in for the long haul. And that will affect your eternity. That's why it's so important how to know you can trust God. That's what Christ is saying. You can trust me. I know your heart has the propensity to fear and to worry and to be full of anxiety. Don't worry and don't fear because I care and you can trust me. Behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow. They don't sow their seed. And work a garden and build a barn and store their goods so that they might have something in the wintertime or when their hunger comes. Does not the Heavenly Father feed all them? I believe that a whole lot of God's creation is to show man how powerful that God is and to show His wisdom. You think about the different variables in animals. And like dogs, how many different dogs there is, kinds of dogs and horses. And to think God did all that. And then to think He's feeding this whole world. He's feeding the fish of the rivers, fresh water. And the fish of the oceans, salt water. He's taking care of the blackbird, the raven, just as much as He does have the little robin or the little sparrow. God is, He's running a big operation. All these animals and all this fish life that God is taking care of. I heard this not long back and it sort of puts in perspective what I'm trying to say. Who's the richest man in the world? Well, they say Bill Gates is. And then they said that all the money Bill Gates has, which is a multi-billions, hundreds of billions, if you took all of the assets of Bill Gates and you turned them into currency to buy bird seed or bird food, Bill Gates could only feed the birds of the whole world for 3 days. And God does it every day. 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 days a year. And a bird can't fall from the heavens that God doesn't attend His funeral. God knows where they are. He knows how many there are. He knows how many died today. I'm talking about a God that's meticulous and a God that's concerned about specifics in this life. What's Christ saying this? He's saying this that you might understand. If Christ died for you, if God made you in His image and His likeness, hallelujah, you mean something to Him. And you can trust Him. You can trust Him to take care of you. Now, think about the lilies of the field, representative of the plant world. Then He talks about the birds of the air. And think about all the trees. The variables, variations of flowers, grass. I mean, everything out there. God sends a rain. God sends a sunshine. Hey, you got all of these laws of science that's involved in just a piece of fruit ripening on the tree that God made it for. Just the miracle of all of that. And to know all of that's an inanimate object. I mean, in the fact, it doesn't have a soul. It doesn't have an eternal existence. But man, like God, is made to live forever. How much more does God care for you? You'll know how much God cares about you when you look at the creation of man. Here's what the Bible says. Man is totally different from a dog or a horse because he's got in him the breath of life. For when God formed man, now Chancellor, you were singing about God's masterpiece, Him making something out of your life. I want to tell you tonight, praise God, man was the apex. He's the zenith. He is the climax. He's the masterpiece of all God's creation. After God made it all, and He did it in six days, on that 6 24-hour day, God made man. He scooped up some dust in His hand, and He formed Adam. And when Adam was formed, God looked down in His lifeless face, and God said, I love you. Oh, yes. I love you. And God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. You know what makes you live physically? It's your blood. You know what makes you live as a human being? Your soul. God put a soul in a man. He gave him a personality. He gave him a mind. He gave him a will. He gave him emotions. He made a man so he could communicate with God. And then old Adam, God brought the animals by. Adam began to name all the different animals of the world. And the Bible says there was no help meet found for him. And God said, I'm going to make him somebody that can appreciate him. I'm going to make somebody that can tell him that she loves him and that he can express his love to, that he can walk through life with, that he can share his experiences with, somebody he can share his possessions with, somebody he can share his innermost thoughts with. And God put Adam to sleep and took a rib out of him. And God, when old Adam, when God took that rib out, Adam shed blood. Woman was designed through the shedding of blood. And God constructed a woman and brought her to him. And God woke old Adam up. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. And God gave him that great companion. I'm talking about man is the center and the heart of creation. You know what David cries out to God? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? I'll praise thee. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Boy, to think about some of y'all in here is older than me. And you're starting to stoop back toward the earth. And your mind might not be quite as sharp as it used to be. And you can't work like you used to could. And you don't have the strength and the mobility that you once had. I'll tell you, even though our bodies have a curse on them, aren't you glad if you're saved by God's grace? God's got a brand new body waiting on you one of these days in the resurrection. When I think about all God's got prepared for us, it makes life worth living. Man alone, I tell you why you're important. Each one of these young people are important because they can do what all the dogs in the world can't do and all the elephants in the world can't do. They can worship God. and they can worship God from a heart of love. They can worship God out of their own free will, out of their own volition. Only man has the ability to love God, worship God, and to know God. The greatest of all life's benefits or gifts is to know God. I tell you something else about a man. He ain't like a dog. Throw a biscuit to a dog. That dog will just light into it. All he's got. Give somebody a plate of food that knows God. And he bows his head. And he thanks God. And that's a form of worship. Oh, man has the ability to desire, to hunger and thirst after God. What a blessing. Now you put God put on you is seen in creation. The value God's got put on you is seen in the provision and the care God has for you. Do you know that God made the water before He made a fish? Do you know that God made air, oxygen, before He ever made an elephant? You know why? God's always got the supply before the need. I'll tell you, God's got a blueprint for every one of these lives. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? That's a penny. And not one of them shall fall to the ground, but that's your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear you not, therefore. Are you not more valuable than sparrows? Are you getting the connection of what God is trying to say? Why, little sparrow, that's worth a penny. There's so many of them that they're almost worthless. But that worthless little sparrow to man has of great value to God. Because that little sparrow reveals the glory and the provision of the God of heaven. Boy, our God's good, ain't He? Boy, you'll never... You think about God cares so much about you, He knows the number of hairs. That means the number you've had your whole life. To think about how valuable you are to God because of the redemptive price He paid. You'll know how valuable something is. All God knows is. You know how valuable a car is. You don't know how valuable a house is. You don't know how valuable some piece of nostalgia is. Find out how much somebody is willing to pay for it. What somebody's willing to pay for is what puts value on it. I know people in this world, if they see a 66 Chevelle, 138, 427, didn't even put them in them, they don't think. I think 67 first year, but had 396, 375, or you had a Shelby Mustang, or a Road Runner, I'm trying to cover all the bases here, or a Road Runner, or a Challenger, or a Charger. You know what? There's some refined lady in her mink coat. That old car isn't worth $1,000. But to the right redneck like me, if he had the money, it'd be worth $50,000. And if it got rare enough, just look at Barrett Jackson, what these things sell for. What I'm trying to say, you can always tell the value of something by the price that somebody's willing to pay for it. You know where I'm going with this? You know the value of man by the price that Christ paid for us. He gave His life. He gave His blood. He gave it all for you and me. Ain't any good. So I'm saying all these young people realize your value. Number two, real quick, rest in your uniqueness. You know what you put under that? Subtitle, if you value yourself, you realize your value to God. Secondly, when you rest in your uniqueness means you accept yourself. Now this isn't some psychiatric hodgepodge. I'm talking about something that's important. Matthew 6:27, which of you by taking thought can add a cubit unto his stature. A cubit's 18 inches. How many of you, if you could, would add 18 inches to your height? Now, William down here probably wouldn't. But some of you would. You might not get that extreme, but if you, by your thought, only God can do something by His thought and His words. You could add 18 inches to your height. Now, watch this. Don't miss it. This is very important. Jesus said this to who? Who's He talking to? Sermon on the Mount. To the Jews. To His disciples. Guess what? Jews were about the shortest people in the world. Did you know that? Everybody invaded them. They were shorter than they were. When they were down in Egypt, they're shorter than the Egyptians. When the Philistines came and attacked them, they're shorter than the Philistines. I mean, look at Goliath of Gath, his four brothers. Look at some of the giants in the Old Testament. Those old Roman soldiers, big burly men, had those intimidating uniforms on. There's those little Hebrew Jewish people, and they're always intimidated by the bigger man. And by them, the little man, you know why? God made them that way. Did you know that? It was God's perfect will that they be shorter than their enemies. You know why? Guess who you've got to trust if everybody's bigger than you? Listen to Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I'm the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. If God, and we got some beautiful girls go to this church. Hey, but if you're not, so what? Hey, let's say you're athletic. What if you're not? God made you like you are. God gave my family a lot of traits, but speed's not one of them. My boys used to laugh about that Buchanan speed. Right. We ain't fast. Hey, some of us big, but we ain't fast. Right. If you're big enough, you don't have to be so fast running. But what I'm trying to say, it doesn't matter. God made you like you are. Accept your uniqueness. Accept who you are. And spend a lot of time trying to be somebody else, wishing you were somebody else. But I'll tell you one thing, nobody can be you but you. You're important to Him. He made you like He did. You praise God. Not that you've got more intelligence than somebody else, but that you've got enough sense to get saved. Hey, I might not go very high on the chart of IQ, but I was smart enough to miss hell by trusting the blood of God's Son, and I got enough sense to believe the Bible is the Word of God, and Christ is the Son of God. You're unique. Accept you for the way you are. That takes a lot of pressure off of you. Some of you, you're black-headed and you wish you was blonde-headed. You just don't know that man God's got waiting on you. He's crazy over black-headed women. That's right. Some of you are blonde and wish you was redhead. What you don't know, there's a man out there got a propensity for a woman that's not as smart as him. Now I better take that back. Hey, what I'm trying to say, God made you like you are. You got the height you've got. You got the color of skin you got. You got the color of hair you got. God made, set yourself. Thank God that He made you like you are. Let me illustrate this right quick. There's a preacher, he's dead and in heaven now, And Melvin, he had a voice, his that just embarrassed at his voice. He said one time, he said he thought he'd heard the perfect voice, and he went and heard Adrian Rogers. He said, man, I'm so intimidated. Said, if there's ever been a perfect preaching voice, he said, I left there, I won't either cut my throat or his. He said he had a perfect voice. He said, God, I'd give anything in the world to have a voice like him. And Phyllis, what he did was that he so was ashamed of his voice that in his office, his secretaries, if they were playing one of his tapes, if he walked in, they had to cut it off. He absolutely would not listen to himself. He said it was so depressing. One day, he met a professional from California that was in the recording business. He walked up to him and said, sir, I'm going to tell you something. I have never heard a voice that carries like your voice on a tape. He said, I can be at one end of my house, have the tape on. I've never had a man's voice that would carry like your voice carries. Now, this same preacher had tried to lower his voice. He got those things on his vocal cords. What do they call them? Nodules or something like that. Nodules. Is that it? Okay, now I'm on his vocal cords. And the doctor said, if you don't start, he said, the reason you've got those, you're not speaking naturally. And he went back to his natural voice. And when that man told him that, almost all of his ministry was tapes sent worldwide. 90% of all his invitations come from where people heard his voice on a tape. Are you getting what I'm saying? The thing that he has aggravated God about, that he so wished was something else, was the very thing that God used to make something out of him. Accept yourself like God made you and don't try to be somebody else. Be who God wants you to be. Realize your value to God. Rest in your uniqueness. Thirdly, relinquish your own way. Subtitle. If you value yourself and accept yourself, this one is, forget yourself. You say, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. If you value yourself, you will accept yourself. And if you accept yourself, you will forget yourself to be a blessing to others. See, when you value yourself and accept yourself, you got confidence. And you can help. So that's what this life's all about. It's about helping somebody else. Matthew 6:25, right quick, I'm about done. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or yet your body, what you shall put on. Is not your life more than meat and the body than raiment? What God, Christ is saying? That, listen, there's nothing wrong with a young girl wanting to be beautiful. I think God puts that in them. That's just the process of finding a husband. Ain't nothing wrong with that as long as you don't get obsessed by it. There's nothing wrong with a young man wanting to be muscular as long as you don't make a god out of it. But what the Lord's saying here is, it's like Danielle being a school teacher. She didn't know how. How am I going to get these little kids to listen to me? And what she didn't know, her little old way, that's unlike anybody else's way. It's a gift God gave her to do what she's doing. And she's giving her life unto others. Now, there's a lot of things she could have done in life, but God put in her to be a school teacher. Aren't you glad? Woe unto the world because of offenses. It must be that offenses come. Woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Now, young folks, offenses are coming. That's called stumbling blocks. And you mark her down, they're coming. And expect them. But don't get bitter at them. Hey, forget yourself. Cry, look how they treated the Lord. They're going to treat you the same way. I don't mean you go out and fight it. But that, don't spend your life looking out for your own self-interest. Esteem others above yourself. Listen to this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, Let each esteem other better than himself. What did Christ do? He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If you want God to lift you up high, you get down low, and He will. There's a great believer. Here's what the Lord said. He was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Brother Lucas, it's what a great believer said. He's in heaven now. They asked him the secret of his great success. This is unbelievable. He said, the secret of my success can be given in four words. Number one, no attacks. Number two, no defense. He let God defend him. Don't spend your whole life looking over your shoulder, worrying about every little thing said about you or against you. Well, you'll spend your whole life trying to chase that mess. Realize you're valiant. Rest in your uniqueness. Relinquish your own way. Value yourself. Accept yourself. Forget yourself. Fourth and lastly, render yourself to God. That means commit yourself. But seek you first, verse 33. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. All these things follow a pattern. Remember that. God's got a pattern set up in your life. And it's like opening up a book and reading, going through the pages, one right after the other. That's the way God sets a person's life up. And let me give you this illustration in closing. This will probably help you more than anything I'd say. Illustrations are that way. Danielle, do you teach with illustrations? It works, don't it? There's a woman in the Old Testament. Her husband was a student of divinity, theological student. He's a young man. He dies. He leaves behind his wife and the children. And Elisha was his instructor. She doesn't know what she's going to do. They didn't have life insurance in it. They didn't have all this Social Security and all these benefits we got now. She didn't know what she's going to do. So she goes to the man of God. What a wise thing to do. She went to Elisha and said, I don't know how we're going to make it. He said, what have you got in your house? God's going to answer your prayer. He's going to do it through something He's given you. Yep, let me stop right here and give you an illustration before I finish this illustration. There's Jessica back here with her Max Presswood the third. She's got Max Gardner Presswood the fourth. Isn't that right, Max? Did I get that right? Now look at that little fella. Look how little he is. Look at his daddy, how big he's going to be. Or his grandpa, how wide he's going to be. Or his Uncle Mitchell, how good looking he's going to be. I better get Michael in there, how smart he's going to be. And his grandma saying how funny he's going to be. Little Max, that little fella born normal, got five fingers on each hand. He'll never have to grow fingers. Stay with me. How many toes he got on each foot? Five. He's got 2 feet, 2 knees, arms, 2 ears, nose, 2 eyes. Now, out of that body, is he ever going to have to go get legs? No. You know why? That boy is born with everything he'll ever need. It just has to develop at the right time. You know, young people, when you got saved, you got everything you'll ever need as a baby Christian. It's just got to develop. Well, that's right. And what God gave you, He gave you when He saved you. He gave you a gift of the Spirit or more. You don't have to pray to get them. You done got them. You just got to be developed where you can use them for Him. So, Elisha tells the woman, what have you got in your house? Whatever miracles God's going to do, He's going to do it through what He's already given you. She said, I don't have anything. He said, are you sure you don't have something? She says, well, I got one thing. He said, what is it? She says, one little vessel of oil. He said, praise the Lord. You go tell your boys to walk up and down the streets, go up and down the roads. He said, you borrow I love this King James Bible, not a few. Borrow, not a few. How means you borrow every vessel you can, and when you get those vessels, you take that little vessel that you thought was so insignificant. Hey, that woman had no idea how much oil was in that vessel till she gave it to God. She gave that little vessel to God. He sanctified it and blessed it. And she got to pouring. And it never stopped till she ran out of vessels. You might think you're alive, I'm just a little pot of oil. Oh, but if you give that pot to God, how many lives can He fill up with what He's already put in you? You know what? We need some just common people to serve God. We need some intellectuals to serve God. We need good Christian lawyers. Aren't you glad we got David Gibbs? Believe we need doctors. How can't one be you? We need dentists. As much as I hate going to them, thank God for them. We need scientists that can invent medicine to help mankind. We need mathematical geniuses. We need men that can dig a ditch, that can lay concrete, that can drive a nail, that can build furniture. But we need it all. And we need folks that are saved. We need not politicians. We need some statesmen that are saved. Man, this thing keeps going like it is. We need to resurrect Jesse Helms. Lord, help us. Ronald Reagan, we need to resurrect, praise God, George Washington. What I'm getting at, listen, these young people, I think, Megan here is going to Gardner Webb. Danielle, didn't you graduate from Appalachian State? Blair, you're going to be a dental what? Amen. Praise God, she just fulfilled my illustration. Amen. And Donna's going to be her patient. Isn't that a blessing? William, where are you? Eugenius, welder. Praise God, you're whatever you need to be. Amen. Lucas, what are you, son? Amen. He's still checking it out. You'll find out. Chancellor, you don't know yet what God has for you, do you? But you do know one thing, is to serve Him in it. Amen. Hey, we need women that are just be good housewives. That ain't a cuss word. I mean, they look down at women nowadays, say, what do you do for a living? Say, well, I've got children and I take care of the house. I'm a house. They said, there's nothing demeaning about that. That's glorious. Praise God. Hey, you're important. Value yourself, accept yourself, forget yourself, and consecrate, commit yourself to the Lord. Well, we need to pray. Then we're going to go over here and have some fellowship. If you're here tonight in this service and you don't know God, I pity the man. I pity the woman, boy and girl, especially a mom or dad, going out in this world, trying somehow to feed their children, trying somehow to make it in life and not know the Lord. You got every bit of pity I got. And you got my prayers. I pray you'll come to the point you know how bad you need the Lord. And you'll surrender to Him. He can direct your life. He can get you got something. See, I mean, listen. You know what they tell me? They tell me, the atheists tell me, the agnostics. Say, the only reason you believe in God, you need a crutch. You better believe it, I need one. I can't create worlds. I can't heal cancer. I can't keep my mental faculties. You better believe I need God. I can't go out and rescue some kid on drugs. You better believe I need God. That's not weakness. That's wisdom. To admit that you need Him. You got to have Him. You're not, you're saved by God's grace. Let's pray for these young people. God lay His hand on them. God would bless them in a great and a mighty way. I want us to bow our heads for a moment. And these high school kids especially, these college students already went through this. Megan, I want you and Chancellor to come and bow over here, if you will. Lucas, I want you to come over here on this side, if you will. Just bow. We want to get around you and pray. Luke, I want you and Jeremy and Keith get around Lucas over here. I want us to pray over him. And Donna and Tabitha and Tracy. I want y'all to come up here and pray around these ladies. Teresa, you come too. Any mother, grandmother, any family member want to come pray around their child. We want to pray closing prayer tonight for them. God's blessings will be on them in a mighty way. We'll give them time to get here. Yes, Lord. Ricky Reed, I want you to lead us in prayer. Pray for all these weeks.